ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भागवतम 10th कैंटो 16th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 30। तच्चित्र तांडव विरुग्न फणा सहस्रो रक्तं मुखैर् उर्वमन् नृपभग्न गात्रः स्मृत्वा चराचर गुरुं पुरुषं पुराणं नारायणं तमरणं मनसा जगाम। Divine Grace, is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear King Parikshit, Lord Krishna's wonderful, powerful dancing trampled and broke all of Kaliya's 1,000 hoods. Then the serpent, profusely vomiting blood from his mouth, fully recognized Sri Krishna to be the eternal personality of Godhead, the supreme master of all moving and non-moving beings, Sri Narayana. Thus, within his mind, Kaliya took shelter of the Lord. Purport. In Volume 1, Chapter 16 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Prabhupada points out that whereas previously Kaliya was vomiting poison, now his poison was exhausted and he began to vomit blood. Thus, he had been cleansed of the vile contamination within his heart that had manifested as serpent's venom. The word smritva, remembering, is very significant here. The wives of Kaliya were actually serious devotees of Lord Krishna, and according to the acharyas, they had often tried to convince their husband to surrender to him. Finally, finding himself in unbearable agony, Kaliya remembered his wife's advice and took shelter of the Lord. Srila Vishnuchakravarti Thakur explains that Kaliya's arch rival had traditionally been Garuda, the carrier of Vishnu. But now Kaliya realized that he was fighting an opponent who was thousands of times stronger than Garuda, and who therefore could be only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus Kaliya took shelter of Lord Krishna. Om Ajnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuvanmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamagyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Hare Krishna. Hindi translation is going on in temple hall. All the devotees, jin bhaktan ko Hindi mein anuvad chahiye, aap temple hall mein chale jaiye, udhar anuvad chal raha hai aapke liye. Hare Krishna. The pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam are spoken, heard, and repeatedly spoken and explained by various acharyas and gurus in the parampara. And they can be heard a million times because the nature of the shastra is that it is very deep. His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj says, if you read Prabhupada's purports superficially, you will find them repetitive. Mm-hmm. But if you read them with great sincerity, Krishna is in the coils of Kaliya. At that time, how the Vrajavasis felt a very deep spiritual loving separation from Krishna. That is one highlight of this chapter. If you want to know what is the love of the devotees of Krishna for Krishna, the Vrajavasis, that section is a very nice section to read and understand how they were willing to even lay down their lives. And everybody except Balaram was completely shattered, broken to pieces. It is said the men were falling off like trees which are uprooted. And the women of Vrindavan, covered ladies, elderly gopis and others, they fell off like a creeper which has been knocked off by a violent cyclone. So that section is a very interesting section, talking about the deep feelings of pain and separation that the Vrajavasis are feeling when Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya. They felt their lives have come to an end. Another section of this chapter is how Krishna is the master of all transcendental arts and is the most skillful master. Like the way Krishna danced on the top of Kaliya's hoods. Because it is not a stable stage like we have a stage here. It was a moving stage. Because Kaliya was moving his heads. Have you ever seen somebody doing Bharatanatyam on a moving stage? That too not a very big stage. You know, different. You keep one foot here and the head keeps moving. And the snake's body is generally very slippery and smooth. That is another problem, and it is cupped like an umbrella. So, how the master of all transcendental arts, Krishna, is dancing very skillfully on the hoods of Kaliya, and how all the devatas and everybody also joined Krishna in that wonderful event. That is one section also, which talks about the beauty and sweetness of Krishna. Then there is another section of this chapter where we find the prayer of Nagapatnis to Krishna. It's a very interesting section. How the Nagapatnis, first of all, they are glorifying Krishna that the punishment that you gave him was very deserving punishment. So there are about five verses glorifying Krishna's punishment as anugraha. Your danda is also another form of anugraha, they are saying like that. And then they are offering prayers. In each prayer they will say, namaha, namaha, we are offering your obeisances, many prayers. And then the last five prayers they are requesting Krishna to forgive him because he has surrendered and protect and save his life. So the Nagapatni's prayers are very important because they are pure devotees of Krishna. And they have deep affection for Krishna. So that prayers are something that form a very important part of this chapter also. The Nagapati's prayers, which are full of enlightening verses. They are saying that your danda is like a packaged mercy. Mercy in a package. Sometimes in our ashram somebody keeps some nice mangoes during mango season. They put in a carry bag and they write, "Don't touch." Somebody wants to know, what is there inside? Why don't touch? You know. And then he opens, oh, mangoes, that's why they'll finish it. Some devotee may keep a carry bag and write Karela. Karela inside, don't touch. But then externally it is Karela. Inside what is that? Alfonso mangoes. Isn't it? Similarly, Krishna's mercy sometimes takes the shape of a punishment. Externally it's like Karela juice, but inside it is mango. Inside grace is kept. So how to understand it? Nagapatnis are helping us to understand it. Beautiful in this chapter. And then Then the last section is also interesting. When Kaliya opens his mouth and teaches us lessons on envy. So many valuable points are mentioned about envy in this world. How, what is the nature of envy? How envy acts? Who is envious and how to rise above envy? This is another section. So, each of these sections deserve a couple of hours. And we can go on the whole day, which we will not do today. I will only go till 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock I will stop the class. Whatever I cover in that, by the time, I will cover. So I am going to go from text by text, only whichever texts require little more throwing light and attention I will do. Otherwise we will go fast. Shri Shuka Uvacha Dilokya Dushitam Krishnam Krishna Krishna Hina Vibuhu Tasya Vishuddhi Man Vichan Sarpam Tamudavasayat. See here the word, there are three words Krishna 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 is used. Vilokya Dushitam Krishnam, that Krishnam is Yamuna. Krishna is Krishna. And Krishna Hina is the black serpent. Krishna, Krishna Ahina. Ahi is serpent. Krishna Hina. So, first Krishna is Yamuna and then Krishna and then black serpent. Tasya Vishuddhim Anvichan. So, Shivaji Goswami is telling that when Lord Krishna saw that Yamuna river had been contaminated by the black snake Kaliya, and he desired to purify the river and also Lord banished him from it. The whole pastime he has put it in one verse only. Krishna desired to purify the river and he wanted to drive away Kaliya. Like that. And he banished Kaliya from it. He finished. Now subsequently you will find Parikshit will ask questions now. Parikshit is not going to be satisfied. Okay, now somebody called Kaliya came and he was driven away. The story is over. No. Now he is going to ask questions about it. You see, in North India, there is a very big movement on Save Ganga and Save Yamuna. So one of the Swamis of one another movement, of course he was speaking in that meet, he said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam we find Lord Krishna saw that the Yamuna was polluted. And he found out the cause of the pollution. What is it? The envious mentality of Kaliya. So he drove away Kaliya from the Yamuna and then he rendered Yamuna pure. Similarly, we want to do Save Ganga and Save Yamuna. It has become polluted due to the envious and greedy mentality of the modern day commercialists who are depositing all the effluents and chemicals into the holy rivers and they are ruining it. So these people are mini Kaliyas. So we want to drive away these mini Kaliyas along with the pollution that they have created. So it's very nice comparison. I was very happy that in that whole meeting this was the only spiritual thing. So many other things were spoken. But this is a very nice thing. At least they remembered Krishna driving away Kaliya and also they are able to relate it with their personal lives, you see. Similarly, our heart also is supposed to be like Yamuna. Because Kalindi Yamuna, she is a very great devotee of Krishna. You will find in the Bhagavatam, she performs great penances to attain Krishna as the husband. And one time when Krishna and Arjuna are sitting in one of the forests, in the Vrindavan forest, that time the young girl is passing by, and then Krishna is sending Arjuna to find out who it is. So Arjuna goes to find out whereabouts, details about her. And then she is telling, my name is Kalindi. My father has given me a place inside the Yamuna. We have a residence. I am residing here. My only aspiration is to attain Lord Krishna as my husband. And I am performing severe penances. So afterwards you will find she attains Krishna as her husband. She is one of the wives of Krishna. So, Kalindi is a very great devotee of Krishna. She is a sister of Yama, Suryaputri, Kalindi. So, because Kaliya came and took shelter in Yamuna,
he got the grace of Krishna. Instead of going to some other place, he came to Vrindavan. She took shelter of Kalanadi Yamuna also, so he got the grace. But that Yamuna was polluted by Kaliya, for which Krishna punished him, purified him, and then sent him away. So when he said this, now the Raja is asking, Katam antar jale agade nagrihanat bhagavanahim. He's asking, how within that waters of Yamuna, the snake came there? He's asking. And how savai bahu yugavasam yatasit viprakathayatam. How Kaliya has been living there for so many years? He's asking. Please tell me how Krishna chastised Kaliya. Brahman bhagavatastasya bhumna svachandavatvartinaha gopalo udara charitam kastruptyetamritam jushan. He's telling gopala udara charitam, the pastimes of Gopala Krishna. They bring great joy to our hearts and they also nourish the senses of devotees. That's why he's called Gopal. Go means our senses. Pal means one who protects them from getting distracted to wrong things of the world. So that's why he's called Gopal. Also Gopal, another meaning of Gopal is one who gives great pleasure to the cows, a protector of the cows also. So Gopala Udara Charitam. Krishna's charitam or pastimes are very magnanimous. Why? Because Krishna is a very magnanimous Lord, Udara Lord. He saved the Vajvasis from the dangerous Kaliya. And he saved Kaliya from Garuda also. Because earlier Garuda came to attack Kaliya. Of course, Garuda would not attack Kaliya. You will see the history will be told in the next chapter. You know, Garuda eats snakes. So he would generally come to the population of snakes and pick up whichever was available for his food and fly away from there. So one day all the snakes had a meeting and they told Garuda that we will give you some fruits and roots and berries. Please be satisfied with that. And we will accumulate them all under a tree. Please come and eat and go. Don't harm our population of snakes. And Garuda also agreed to that. In some place it is said every day one snake was given to him. And Vishwamitra Thakur in his commentary says he was given fruits, roots and berries. In the next chapter you will read it. So Garuda was satisfied with that. But Kaliya was a very envious snake who thought, why should our snake community respect the Garuda's mastery over us? So he would go under the tree and eat away everything kept for the Garuda. That he was doing. And when Garuda came once flying, he saw that this Kaliya is rebelling against his authority and he is not. And the other snakes said, actually this is not our intention, this is Kaliya, his misbehavior. So then there was a fight between Garuda and Kaliya. Of course Kaliya also from a distance would have reddish eyes, bloodshot eyes. He would frighten people by showing his red eyes. He also from a distance he would breathe heavily, due to which poisonous smoke would come out of his nose. And he would see with bloodshot eyes. When a person would come near with his forked tongue, which he would be constantly licking hither and thither, he would extend it and bite a person. That's what Kaliya would do. So he was trying to attack Garuda. When Garuda was flapping his wings, Kaliya was trying to bite him. So in that terrible fight, Kaliya realized that he will not be able to stand in front of Garuda. So he escaped from there and came to Yamuna. And the Yamuna, Garuda wouldn't come for a reason. There was a curse by one Saubari Muni who was under the waters of Yamuna and performing penance. He had unreasonably cursed Garuda, although Garuda is a great devotee of the Supreme Lord, due to his compassion placed on a material platform, on the fishes living in that lake. So Saubari thought that I am giving a curse and this curse is going to be a blessing, he thought, for Garuda. But it was a wrong type of curse, because he cursed a very great devotee of the Supreme Lord, Garuda, who is a personal servant of Lord Vishnu. He cursed him that you cannot come to this lake ever. If you come, you will be dead. Of course, Garuda is not bound by any rules and regulations, but yet he followed the rule, followed the norm, he wouldn't come there. Knowing this, Kaliya went and hid himself under the waters in Yamuna. And also Kaliya went deep in the waters, so Garuda could not access him. Garuda could not go inside the waters, so Kaliya went inside. So in this way, when Kaliya apparently escaped from Garuda, still he lived in fear of Garuda. Always. He thought that occasionally if I would come out, likely that Garuda may come and again attack me. But after Krishna danced on Kaliya's head, there were so many beautiful lotus footprints of Krishna on the head of Kaliya. And then Krishna told Kaliya, now you may go out of Vrindavan, and wherever you go, Garuda will not attack you anymore. Why? Because I have put my footprints. Just like, you know, when you come in Octroy or something, ISI seal is there. Okay, chalo, you can go, no problem. If something is a mall, mall is not a proper mall. It's a golmal mall. You know? So that will not be allowed. But similarly, when Krishna's footprints are there, then immediately one gets entry. Just like sometimes you go to some temple, they ask you, who are you? You say, so-and-so dasa, so-and-so dasi. Immediately they understand, oh, he's a devotee. He's an insider devotee. They think like that. They immediately allow, okay, go in. So when you become a servant of devotee, a servant of Krishna, then the sanction is given very easily, isn't it? So, Kaliya also told by Krishna, you may proceed now, you have nothing to fear, Garuda will not attack you. So he saved Kaliya from Garuda, and he saved Vrajavasis from Kaliya's poisoning. That is why his charitam is called Udara Charita. Gopala Udara Charitam. Krishna is extremely magnanimous. In fact, Kaliya was violent towards Vrajavasis by poisoning the whole of Yamuna. So the Vrajavasis became the victims. So Krishna's charitam is so sweet that he saved both the victims as well as those who are violent. Both he saved. That is why his charitam is called Udara Charita. It's magnanimous. This is Krishna's job. Krishna wants to pacify the whole world to become free from envy, free from competitive mentality, free from greed, and wants to see everybody living very happily. Under his reign, under his rule. So he's called as Gopala Udara Charitam. Kastripye Tamritam Jushan. Who will become satiated by such a wonderful katha about Krishna? Is there anyone in this world who will say that enough now? I don't want to hear any more. This katha is so nectarian. Parishit Maharaj is saying that I want to go on hearing. Then Shukadeva Goswami begins the katha here. Kalindyam Kaliyasyasi Hradaha Kaschit Vishagnina Shrapyamana Payasmin Patanti Uparigakagaha. So here he is saying Kalindyam, that means within the water of Yamuna. Kaliyasya asit. There was a snake called Kaliya. Haradaha Kaschit Vishagnina. Visha means poison, agnina means fire. His poison was so hot, poison coming out of his mouth, that it was boiling the waters of Yamuna, that is said. Heating and boiling. Shrapyamana means heating and boiling. Paya, yasmin. Paya means water. Patanti upari gaha kagaha. Kaga means what? See, kha means akash. Ga means which moves. Ga means bird. Bird which flies in the sky. Because the boiling waters would evaporate and the poisonous gas would go up, and any bird while flying in the sky would smell it, it will fall into the, drop into the river. Like that he says. Patanti upari gah kagaha. Here, there is a commentary by the Acharyas. They say, it was not exactly Yamuna, they are saying. In Yamuna, sometimes you find in a river, there is a tributary kind of thing which leads to a big lake. You have seen that? So this Kaliya lake was such a lake. It was not directly Yamuna. Because if it was directly Yamuna, then what would happen? The whole Yamuna river would be polluted, and even the water going to Mathura will also be poisonous. And people would drink it, and there also people would die. Like the Acharyas have mentioned, it was a lake by the side of Yamuna which was drawing water from Yamuna actually. So all this was happening above the lake, and then there's a description given how when Kaliya came and occupied with many other snakes also along with him, when he came and occupied this lake, around 8 miles around the lake, there were also many, many snake holes, snakes coming in, going out. So nobody could put their foot and go near that lake. And in this way, Kaliya had occupied. And then he's saying, the wind blowing over the deadly lake carried droplets of water to the shore. Simply becoming in contact with that poisonous breeze, all vegetation and creatures on the shore died. You can imagine, even the grasses and the trees which were on the shore, because of the effect of the poisonous smoke, they all perished. They all became blackish and they all fell off. In this way, Kaliya also had mystic siddhis, powers with him. He had something called Jalastambha, by which he could convert water into solids. He could do that. By which he made a very big mahal for himself below the waters. So he's living very comfortably inside the waters of Yamuna. See, when we talk about Nagas, generally we think they are just snakes. But these snakes are also great personalities. If you see in Mahabharata and other places, you will find that the Nagas sometimes can assume a form just like a human being. Yeah. They can assume form like devatas. Similarly, the Naga Patnis, I heard His Holiness Radhavan Maharaj's lectures on this series of this. So there he says it's not that, you know, they are having some snake body and they are dragging it behind and they are coming. No. He said they are all very beautiful. If they want, they can be just like human being with hands, legs, everything. But their nature is to be like a snake. But they can also change their forms at will. He said different forms they can change also. So, in the same manner, Kaliya also is a person, but now he is in the form of a snake actually. So he had a very big palace below and he was living very comfortably, built his own city within the lake. And here, text 6 to 9, now Krishna comes into picture. Krishna versus Kaliya now. Tamchanda vega vishadirya mavakshatena dushtam nadim chakhalasam yama navatarah Krishna kadambam adiruhya tato titungam ashfortyagavarashano Bhagavata Nishoji. Okay, the sound is coming to volume high. Is it alright?
Volume has suddenly increased.
Alright? You see, Krishna saw how Kaliya has polluted the Yamuna. And since Krishna has descended from the spiritual world specifically to subdue the envious demons, immediately Krishna.
In case he comes back, and he doesn't find us all alive, then that will cause great pain to him. So not to cause pain to Krishna's heart, they did not give their life. They maintained their life. That's what was causing them to maintain their life. Similarly, this tree also. The tree maintained their life with the hope that Krishna will put his lotus feet someday on me. So now Krishna did it, because the tree had aspirations. Krishna is a fulfiller of our aspirations. Whatever we aspire, we get it. Material, spiritual, in this world. Whatever the jiva aspires, eventually he gets it in this life or next life. So, the tree also got his aspiration fulfilled when Krishna climbed on the top and he walked over the tree and he jumped off from that. When Krishna jumped, what happened? See, what Krishna did? After jumping into water, he was playing in the water by beating the water with his hands and legs and slapping and making musical sounds, wonderful musical sounds. So when he did it, the snakes in the water became extremely agitated and they started began breathing heavily. They started making sounds. Further polluting with volumes of poison. And they were adding more and more poison to the water. The force of the large entrance into the lake caused it to overflow on all sides. And poisonous fearsome waves flooded the surrounding land. In this way, when Krishna splashed the water, what was going this outside the boundary of the bank of the river, lake was flowing. Krishna began sporting like a lordly elephant, swirling his mighty arms, making the water resound in various ways. When Kaliya heard these sounds, he understood that there was someone trespassing in his lake, Abhibhavam. Here he says, trespassing my lake. The serpent could not tolerate this and immediately came forward. Amrishyamana means he could not tolerate this. And immediately came forward, Samasara. Sama means the friend. He came in the friend to say, who is that coming into my territory? This is called territory consciousness. Everybody has a territory. If somebody puts their hand into another fellow's territory, immediately Kaliya snake will come. Immediately, that's it. So this is actually the possessor mentality. First of all, Kaliya has come into Vrindavan and he has occupied this lake and he is occupying Krishna's possession. Yamuna is meant for Krishna's playing. Krishna and covered boy, sometimes Krishna and covered girl. They play in the waters. And this fellow has taken Krishna's possession and he is thinking that Krishna is trespassing my possession. That's the how foolish it is. So he was just as he is hissing, we can see in this world that so many asuras have come. They appeared at different times, whether it be Hiranyakashipu or Ravana, whoever it is. The mentality for coming and grabbing some portion of this world and then claiming it to be one's own is not a new thing. This has been seen time and time again. This kind of possessive mentality. And also, one has a mentality of never sharing and enjoying. One always wants to possess everything for oneself. That was a possessive mentality. As soon as when we talk about territory consciousness, this consciousness can be easily realized in practical life of everybody. Like everybody wants name and fame to oneself only. They don't want to share. Similarly, there are things that people may use, but they will never want to share with others. For example, once a man was sitting under the shade of a tree on a very hot sunny day. It was terribly hot sun. He was very happy to be under the shade of the tree. After some time, a dog was just passing on the road, could not tolerate the heat. So he also came into the shade of the tree. It was a huge, large shade of a huge banyan tree. When the dog came into the shade, the man was lying down, wide awake. Now he wanted to have some fun, so he took a stone and threw at the dog. And the dog was screaming. Again, the dog went into the sunlight again. So the tree asked this man, "Hey, where are you driving away the dog?" He said, "Because unnaturally, you know, why is it coming here and troubling?" He said, "The tree said, I am giving the shade." I am giving shade to you, I am giving shade to the dog, I am giving to the squirrel, I am giving to the bird, I am giving to everybody passing by. Does the shade belong to you or me, the Kriya? Man said, yeah, it belongs to you. And who are you to drive them away? Similarly, in this world also, we find people possess Krishna's property and claim it to be their own. And then they become deeply interested by the quality of envy, just like his Italia. He became envious of everybody. Because of his envy poison, the Vidivasis who came to the shores of Yamuna, they all fell unconscious, dead to the ground because of Kaliya. Nobody could drink water, the birds were dropping into the water. Nobody could come here. So here we find Kaliya becoming uneasy as soon as Krishna enters the waters of Yamuna. Let's say sometimes the dog also you find it as a territory consciousness. This lane is my lane. Anybody who comes into this lane, he will bark immediately. And the dog imagines that the lane belongs to him. Although the human beings are passing by, they don't know the mentality of the dog. They don't know. But the dog imagines like that. Sometimes the dog, in the early morning, 2 o'clock, he makes a sound. If some other dog comes into that lane, this dog makes a screaming sound. The man who gets up to Nagnosa had a long late shift and he came at 12 o'clock at night. He goes to sleep at 12 and then he gets up at 2 o'clock hearing the song. He takes a wood in his hand and comes, who is making the song? He sees the dog and throws on the dog's leg. And the dog, having his leg broken, screaming, he runs away from there. And along with that ends his proprietorship also. Isn't it? They say, the proprietorship mentality is described in this verse. How Kaliya was assuming himself to be a proprietor of this place, although he had only recently come and occupied it. He assumed himself to be the proprietor. And when Krishna, who is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, proprietor of all creation, he came, the Sulabhutan recognized. He could not call it, who is trespassing my lake? Immediately came forward, Samasaraya.
Samprekshaneya Sukumara Ganavaratam Srivatsapita Vatanam Mithasundarasyam Kridantama Katibhayam Kamalodarandrim Sandashyamarma Surusha Bhujayatathada.
There is a beautiful description about how Krishna looked like when he was in those waters of Yamuna. Srivatsa, there is a Srivatsa chinha on his chest. Pita Vasanam, golden, dazzling dhoti he was wearing. Smita Sundarasyam, he was smiling. His face, Asyam means the face, was very beautiful along with the Smita. There is a description which says, Krishna is beautiful, and amongst his whole beautiful body, his face is more beautiful. And in the most beautiful face, his smile is most beautiful, it is said. So Smita is that smile. So Smita Sundar Astya. While he was jumping into the waters, Krishna was not upright. There was not even a trace of fear on his face. Because anybody who goes to such a place where everything is blackish, due to the poison of the snake, and the one knows that Kaliya in the waters, will anybody dare to enter such a zone? And even if somebody is, so later on Nanda Baba comes, he will ask a question to the reverend boys. You know, did the snake extend its tail outside and curl the Krishna and pull him into the water so that he can bite him and kill him? Or my son himself jumped into water? That's what Nanda is asking later on. Here you find Krishna on his own is jumping into the water and he is absolutely fearless with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Kaliya saw that Krishna, who was wearing this, Tridantama Pratibhayam Kamalodarangrim, he says. Yeah, he says, Tridantama, we are playing in those waters. Apratibhayam, without fear of others. There is absolutely no fear. And Kamala Udara Andri. is still resembling the world of a lotus flower, the face smiling beautifully. Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. Although Krishna looked so tender and beautiful, his body was glowing like a spotless white cloud, he says. And Krishna appeared exactly opposite to that of Kaliya, who had a very envious face with a bloodshot eyes and poisonous smoke emanating. Krishna appeared exactly opposite. It was very beautiful. But although Krishna appeared so beautiful, despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya curiously bit him on his chest and then completely enwrapped him in his coils. Now from verse 10 onwards, 10 to 22, Vrijavasi is in spiritual preparation. I told you this section. Vrijavasi is now they all are searching for Krishna. Because on that particular day, Krishna had gone without Balaram, with other covered boys. Mother Yashoda generally would fear more when Krishna would go without Balaram sometimes. Because when Balaram would be there, Mother Yashoda would be confident that he would keep control of Krishna and keep a watch on him. When the cover came in, the people came, no. They came running. They saw him enveloped in the snake's coils, motionless. They were greatly disturbed. They were stricken by lamentation and fear. They fell to the ground. Like the tree is falling, uprooted by a cyclone. Like that, they all fell unconscious. And the women also, now the subsequent verses, the different rasas, people in different rasas are explained. The cows, bulls and female calves, in great distress called out piteously to Krishna. Krishnenyaste kshana bhita rudantya kivata sthire. They are saying, Krishnenyasta means completely deep-rooted, fixed. Ikshana bhita. When they looked at Krishna in great fear, called by Kaliya, they wanted to cry, they could not even cry. The tears were dried up. In great anxiety they were looking at Krishna. After they are about to cry tears, sometimes there is a stage prior to crying loudly. You have seen that? Sometimes there is a big accident. Sudden accident, like you know, in South India, they celebrate this Kartik festival, you know. In Kartik festival, they keep lamps, you know, rows of lamps they keep, and rows of lamps they keep inside, outside the house, inside the house, everywhere they keep lamps. Only you should be very careful in celebrating the festival. Sometimes some ladies are shrewd, while keeping lamps, they are very cautious not to get hurt by the fire. But sometimes people are not so sure. So, as you put one lamp here, and you turn around, and while putting another lamp, going and touching this lamp. Once it happened, when the mother was turning around and it was catching lamp, the fire started coming. So that time, suddenly, my sisters and they came, there was a moment where there was great anxiety. Because you see fire, you know, the whole fire, you can imagine somebody, fire is up to their hip, and they find them in the middle, and they were all screaming. After that, they could not even cry also. They wanted to cry, but I only heard them screaming. Somehow I tried, so I immediately went and caught her in the mother's hand and dropped her to the ground and rolled her on the ground. The next moment the fire disappeared, and then my sister cried out loudly. After the fire was put out, I said, you know, you should spring into action. This is not a time to cry. Otherwise the whole body will burn otherwise. So, sometimes you want to cry, sometimes the situation is creating such great fear in your heart, you know, forget to cry also. That's what happened to them. They say here. But then they say, Iva means right crying. They were about to cry. They were looking such a, they were too stunned to see this sight. Because Krishna was so much the Lord of their life, that, you know, they cannot imagine a life without Krishna. Of course, they could not give up their lives also, because they wanted to see Krishna safe before giving up life. Because if Krishna is not safe, you know, if you give up life and go away, then who will protect Krishna? There is a strong desire to protect him also in this bhava. that Vrindavan area, that then arose all three types of faithful women, those on the earth, those in the sky, and those in the bodies of living creatures, which announced imminent danger. One could see those apashakun visena, the shakun. On the earth there were earthquakes, earth was trembling. On the sky the meteors were falling, and the men were finding their left eyes quivering. For Mataji, if left eyes are quivering, it's good for them. For them. Some special gift is going to come from the husband. Left eyes are quivering for them. But for Mataji, if right eyes are quivering, it's bad over for them. Similarly for Prabhuji's, which side? Right eye is quivering, they are going to get some special bonus in the company. Left eye is quivering, so there is some shakun like this. Okay, if you are identifying some upper shakun, for men, right is good or left is good?
Right
is good, yeah. Left is bad. Left eyes are, you know, shaking, or left eye is quivering, the sign of inauspiciousness. Now, sometimes you find left eye is twitching, or quivering. You want to stop it, you can't stop it. Sometimes you hold it, hey, don't do this. Transfer it to this side. You can't hold it. So what is to be done if you know it? That, see, why this kind of symptoms are kept by Krishna? Chakras explain. When some inauspicious thing is going to come, bad omen, one should immediately think of the Supreme Lord in the mind. You find Amrish Maharaj and others, and there is an imminent danger, what they do? Immediately chant Nasinam, Sotram, or remember the Supreme God. Whatever has to happen will happen. Maybe some accident is awaiting, maybe something unfortunate is going to happen. Better take shelter of the God. Because what else can we do? And by taking the shelter, then Krishna may alter the situation, or he may make the situation favorable for the Krishna consciousness. That's why these signals are given in the Shastra so that we can prepare ourselves to think of Krishna. Some time is given for us, in advance only. Similarly, this kind of different symptoms were observed. And then it is said, Vinarameena ka krishnam yatva acara yitrungatam. Vinarameena ka krishnam alas alas. Today, without Rama, Rama is Balaram. Without Balaram, Krishna went. What a great mistake we did by sending Krishna without Balaram. Like that they are all lamenting. And then, durnimitta is nidanam matva praptam atat vidaha. Nidana matva means they got, when they were all coming, now, you see, already I told you that they saw Krishna in the cowards of Kalia, correct? There is about one group of cowards men. Now Nanda Baba has not yet come, now he is going to come now. Now another group is coming now. Another group of cowards men are coming with Nanda Baba and others. So they are coming now. Seeing the inauspicious omen, Nanda Maharaj and other cowards men were fearful, for they knew that Krishna had gone to fight the cows on that day without Elder Balaram. They were unaware of the great power and opulence of Krishna. So they concluded that inauspicious omens indicate that maybe nidanam matva, because maybe Krishna has died because of. So they heard the news, rumors started, the actual thing about Kali was spreading. They overwhelmed with great lamentation and fear. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including children, women, elderly persons, thought of Krishna just as the cow thinks of her elder Genka. So they all came running. Abala, Vrindha, Vanitaha, Sarvenga, Pashupurusayaha. Pashupurusayaha means like a cow crying for the calf. Like that they were crying and they all came running towards Yamuna. Now this is the next group of cowherd men and cowherd ladies and children and cows and calves. They all are coming running to the bank of Yamuna after having heard something bad that happened to Krishna. Krishna says, this Nidhanam Matva has two meanings. One meaning is, Nidhanam means death. Has Krishna faced death? That is again thinking like that. Another meaning of Nidhanam means also gift. The great treasure. That was called Nidhanam. So Krishna says, they came to see what great treasure that Krishna got now in Yamuna for him to nicely play with. That is the snake Kaliya regard. So today you will have great fun dancing on Kaliya. So they came to see it. Like that he writes. Krishna Chitrabhu cannot tolerate words like death of Krishna and things like that.
तांतकातांकरां वीक्ष्य भगवान् माधवो बलह रहस्य किंचिन्नो वाच प्रभावज्ञोनुजस्यतः
यार बलराम इस्तादर माधवः मा मीन्स इंटेलिजेंस धव मीन्स मास्टर माधव मीन्स यू नो मास्टर ऑफ इंटेलिजेंस बलह बलराम जी व्हाट इज बलराम डू तां तथा Kataran Viksha. Seeing them desperately crying for Krishna, what is Balaram do? Prahasya Kinshit. He is slightly smiled, he says. Prahasya Kinshit. Uvata Prabhavagyo Anjasya. He knows the power of his younger brother Krishna, who is. He understood that today maybe Krishna wants to cover his Aishwarya, opulence. And he wants to enjoy his Leela Shakti. He is doing some Leela now. But all these people are crying unnecessarily. Speaking like that, Balaram was laughing. And Balaram also laughed for another reason. Why? He saw Krishna within the palace of Kaliya and said, hey, I am Ananta Shesh. You never played like this with me ever. You are playing with the snake. That's what he was thinking. You are playing with a mundane snake, I am a spiritual snake. You are not playing with me. I am thinking where is your problem. And also Balaram laughed, why? He is not to alleviate the fear of the devotee. Like you know, sometimes somebody has an emotional problem, a serious problem in their life, and they are coming and crying to you. What should you do? You should give a smile. So by seeing your smile and confidence, then their problem will become minimized. Sometimes this people bring a problem. And then the person who is hearing is a mature person. He says, don't worry. This is a peanuts, nothing to worry. This is a solvable problem. And then he gives a confident smile. Then they also become a little satisfied. Okay, now, you know, Prabhuji or Mataji will help me. But imagine if a person comes to you and cries, you also cry. I can only help, you know, give you a more to support the crying along with you. Then what will happen? They will lose all confidence. Is it not? That's why Balaram wanted to give confidence to Jivasis for his smile. And he said, hey, come on, don't worry, don't fear, don't clamor. No misfortune can happen to Krishna. After seeing Balaram's smile, the Vrijavasis decided not to give up their life. They said, maybe some hope, there is some hope that Krishna will come back safely. In fact, Balaram also reminded them, don't you all, in fact, later on it will come, when Nanda Baba was jumping into water. At that time, other coward men caught hold of his hands and tried to pull him back, although they themselves were leaving. They also wanted to save Krishna, but they didn't want to let Nanda Baba jump into the water. At that time, Balaram reminded, he said, don't you all remember? Gargacharya said that this child Krishna, he will save the entire coward community from all the demons. And here is the demon Kaliya, and he is going to save all of you. And you think you are going to save him? In the name of saving him, you will jump into poisonous waters, and if you die, then when Krishna comes back, then who will be there to protect him? He will be left alone. I get it all that. Then they all became really frightened. If we die, then who will take care of Krishna? So we will not die. Then they came back and they remained in the bank. Now they are only crying. As they hurried along the path to the bank of Yamuna River, they saw from a distance Krishna was in the lake, motionless within the coil of the black serpent. And the covered boys had fallen unconscious. They saw that animals were standing on all sides, crying out for Krishna. All around the lake, animals were standing and tears were streaming from their eyes. Then there is one verse devoted to the gopi. And the young gopi, whose minds were constantly attached to Krishna, they saw that he was now within the beautiful serpent. They all remembered his loving friendship, his smiling glances, his talks with them. They were also, they saw the whole entire universe as void. See, till now Krishna has not danced with the gopis. But still gopis are lovers of Krishna, they also cry. Now there is a discussion about Yashoda. Although the elder gopis were feeling just as much distress as she and were pouring forth a flood of sorrowful tears, they had to forcibly hold back Krishna's mother. The gopis took time. You know what they were doing? He says, Krishna ne pita drisho mrtaka pratikaha. It says here, sasta vrajapriya kataha katiyanta asana. Meaning, the gopis could hold back Yashoda by telling Krishna's pastimes to her. When they were telling a very nice sweet pastimes of Krishna's activities, Yashoda could be retained and kept alive. That's what was maintaining her life. This way, Balram is understanding everybody. Now, text 23 to 29, Krishna subduing Kaliya. Very interesting section. Yastam swagokulam ananyagatim nirikshya sastri kumaramati dukkitam atma hetoho ajnaya matya padavi manuvartamanaha sitva muhurtam udatishtas uranga bandhat. Uranga bandhat means in the curse of Kaliya, Krishna was bound. But what he did now? Udatishtas, he rose up from that coils now. How? By expanding his body. Krishna suddenly expanded his body and Kaliya was stretched like a rubber band. When he stretched a rubber band beyond limits, it breaks, no? Like that, when Krishna expanded his body, suddenly Kaliya was shocked at it. What is this? I thought it was a small ball. Suddenly expanding his body so big, and he had to loosen his coil. No? And as soon as he loosened his coil, Krishna jumped out. No? So Krishna is telling Kaliya, listen Kaliya, you have shown me enough of your strength. Now I will show you a little of my progress. Although I am just a covered boy. No? Just see, wait and watch now. So he is putting up show like a covered boy, but actually he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. So he missed the God. Because why Krishna did this now? When Krishna understood that women, children and other residents of his village of Gokula were actually in distress because of the love for him, he immediately rose up. He didn't want to stretch them beyond this. One muhurtam is 48 minutes. He was in the curse of Kaliya. For 48 minutes, almost 1 hour. 1 hour, he made everybody cry and increased their love for him. Actually, this crying is not like the material world crying. In the material world, sometimes people, if somebody dies also in this world, people don't know how to cry. In South India, sometimes they bring one party to cry also. Here also they have Maharashtra. You know that? Yeah. Gujarat they have?
Yeah.
Actually, those fellows, their job is to cry and sing some songs in glorification of a person, and by doing that, he will help the relatives to cry also. So the relatives will be inspired to cry. It's like crocodile tears, as we say. Is it not? And after when they go to the smashan, they say, what is this word? Just see. Kal Champa Pata Radha Eskesa. Yesterday evening he was drinking tea and talking. Today morning has gone. What is kept in this world for us? Nothing. You know, and then they say, I think better I go to Kashi Rameshwar somewhere, you know, develop some vairagya. She would talk like that. But then on the return from the smashan, they start talking about property. What to do with the shop, what to do with the home, which son will get what. Correct, you see? This possessive mentality is so deep-rooted in this world, you know, that is what Smashan Vairagya, they call it. What Vairagya? Very short-lived Vairagya. This is last but not time. So, people in this world may cry crocodile tears sometimes for the sake of etiquette. They may cry when a person dies in this world. But these tears, what the devotees are shown, priceless jewel that arise from deep loving separation from Krishna. In fact, in this kind of tears, they see Krishna at every moment, everywhere. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Samayi Pashyati. that experience is a very blissful experience. It is not like loneliness or becoming bereft of a person. This cannot be understood in our level. It's a very advanced stage. But Acharyas have taught us that by searching for Krishna, you get Krishna more than when Krishna is personally present with you. So that is why Acharyas have cherished this feeling of mood of separation of Krishna far more than wanting to see Krishna face to face.
हे राधे व्रज देविके चलदिते हे नंद सुनो पुकार श्री गोवर्धन अल्प पाद पतले कारिंदी वने कुतः
कुतः कुतः मन वैरा वैरा के कृष्ण वैरा कृष्ण के राधा
तो
wanting to get Krishna in the feelings of separation is the highest attained for a Gaudiya Vaishnava to be achieved, nothing more than this. And cultivating love, feelings of separation from Krishna, like the way Vishwas is crying in great love, calling for Krishna in love. So, seeing their love, Krishna could not resist the insult. He didn't want to frighten them anymore. When Krishna came out of the forest of Karya, and he jumped out. His coils tormented by the expanding body of Lord Krishna, Karya released him. In great anger, the serpent then raised his roots high and stood still, breathing his lips. And the serpent looked at the Lord with his staring eyes, his face like fire brands. He's saying, here also, he's saying, Tastau Shwasan, Shwasana Randra, Shambharisha. So, after releasing Krishna from his coils, when Krishna jumped up, then the Karya looked at him with staring eyes, with envious eyes. Now what Krishna does, he does the magic. What he does? He, now Karya is preparing himself to bite Krishna on his chest. So Krishna starts circling around, going round and round. He playfully went round and round, just like Garuda would play with the snake before killing the snake. Garuda would go round. Similarly, Krishna is also playing with the snake by going round and round. And the snake had a huge body. With a great difficulty, he also himself is dead. With great difficulty. So, sometimes children play, if you play this game, you stand up with your arms like this and you go round and round and round and then you stop at one place. Then the whole world goes around you. Any of you have done it? You have done it? Yeah, I experienced it. Kalia felt it around me. So he also did like this, going round and then he got stranded when he saw it. So he got bewildered and Krishna was laughing when he went round and round. After the God Krishna did, when Karya was little bugger, at that time with his hand, he hit one of his head. Pat! Like this. And then he climbed on his head.
Evam paribrahma hatau jasamun natamsam anamyatattvatu shira svadiruda adhyaha tanmurdha tanmudarasna nikaraspadshati tamra
This verse explains about how when Krishna climbed on the head of Karya and he started dancing, here the word is used. Adi Kala Adi Guru Nanarta, he says. He Krishna is called as Adi Kala Guru. Adi Guru for all the kalas. In this world, if you have seen anybody doing very nice Bharatanatyam, you may consider them the best. The people, they have this arangetram, they have. Arangetram is a time when a girl or a boy, they are ready to dance in the public in front of others. So they miss a few steps, they may get some bad marks. But there are people who have been dancing here, 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 and they become extreme exploits. The movement of the limbs of their body and the sweat movement of their body, it enchants everybody, even among human beings. You can imagine how the apsaras in heaven must be dancing. How much talent they must be. And here it says Krishna is Adi Guru for all of them. The best of the dancers. And how he must have danced, you can imagine. And when Krishna was dancing, he even danced without any music accompaniment. There was nothing at that time when he began dancing. But from his own mouth he was producing sound. That that type, that that type, that that very that that the sounds you have seen that. Like that. You have seen that people. There are some teachers who teach without any instrument. The mouth they will say, and then for each sound you are supposed to put over a step in a certain way. Sometimes you have to put on the ground. Sometimes you lift the leg above. And you have to do that. And Krishna was making sounds also, and he was dancing also very beautifully on his own over the hood of hoods of Kaliya. At that time, Kaliya would raise one of the hoods. So the desire to bite Krishna. Exactly on the top of the hood, Krishna would jump and put his next foot there. And then when another hood would be raised, and Krishna would put his foot there on that. Like that he So the Bhagavad Gita writes, most people in this world are quite reluctant to bow down to the Supreme Person, the Absolute Truth. In a contaminated state called material consciousness, we conditioned souls become proud of our insignificant position and are thus reluctant to bow our heads before the Lord. Yet, just as Lord Krishna forcibly pushed Kaliya's heads down and thus defeated him, the Supreme Lord's energy in the form of irresistible time kills all conditioned souls and thus forces them to bow down their arrogant heads. We should therefore give up the artificial position of material life and become faithful servants of the Supreme Lord, enthusiastically bowing down at his lotus feet. That's the significance of this. You see, the ego, so Kaliya represents our false ego. The ego is so powerful, when some mistake is pointed out that we did, immediately we have a tendency to justify that I did the way. He or she did it, and you give reason. That reason giving is thought as one of the rules coming. And somebody else may find out that the reason he gave is not very valid, and it is unreasonable. Don't like that, no. You put that. Another reason will come. So these are the like multiple hoods, which are the justifying mentality of the living entity, to prove oneself always right. Like one boy in a college day, he had submitted a project, and we have 200 marks for the project, you know. So there was an interview panel with four people. So this boy went and he looked there, and then no one else was there from his back, there were five people. So he told them, let me tell you, in our batch, I am the only one who did the job. And he said, you know, one of the boys, and then they asked him, what did that fellow do? He just got the thesis bound. Binding he didn't write, he is good in binding, so he did that. What did this fellow do? They asked. He just did the typing work, that's all. What is the third fellow do? He did just the photographic. Oh, really? And you did the whole project? Yes, I did. So these people, you see, they don't have brain. Some people are required in a project with brain, you see. I did the brainy job and the rest of it was done by them. So why he said this? Because he wanted to get all the marks himself. 200 out of 200 he wanted to get. Then the final people started saying, that's very good. But you have defined the problem giving three statements in the beginning. The very first statement is a wrong premise. There's a mistake in that. Based on which your first 30 pages is faulty. Because it's based on that. He said, sir, wait a minute, let me just tell you. My work actually started from the second half. The first part, you know, that was already disqualified. But this is what you only said you did. Actually, I also helped him, you see. He used to come to me for consultation, but actually that part was his part, you know. So in this way, you fellow had to get a solid figure when they asked question after question, and they said, you know, you have done only one fifth of the work, and you claim that you have done everything. So they failed him, and then they send him off afterwards. So, in this world you find there is a tendency to grab the credit. If somebody asks, who did this good work? Somebody asks, everybody will, you know, touch their chest and say, who else can do this good work other than like that. And as soon as you ask, hey, who broke this? And everybody will go and ask, who broke this? Who broke this? Even somebody else will go like that. It's a blame game. You will see that. So, this is the nature of the false ego. So, always take the credit. Good things means it's done through me. Bad things, nobody can take credit. So, that is the tendency. And the ego, false ego is very deep rooted. Right? And here it says, nobody wants to bow down. Kali never wanted to bow down to Krishna. But the true ego, how does it act? See, true ego doesn't want to become a competitor of Krishna. True ego means I want to be servant of Krishna. Just like when Krishna was visiting the world in hell, you know, all the cows, calves, covered men, covered ladies, covered girls, covered boys, they were all watching Krishna. Some covered men told Krishna, "Hey Krishna, Kekana, it appears that you are holding for a long time, your hand will be paining. Can I tell Sudama to hold it for some time?" And Krishna said, Krishna laughed and said, "Sudama, how can he hold it? No, none of you can hold it," Krishna said. "Okay, if none of us can hold it, then maybe if this hand is paining, you please change your hand so that we can massage your this hand. By your father, and after we massage your hand, then you can again lift it back with this hand. So we will help you." Like that, covered men were talking. Let's see how much free from possible they are. How innocent and free from possible they are. They accept Krishna to be their master. They accept Krishna to be supreme. They like to serve Krishna. They like to simply love him and serve him without wanting to occupy his position. Whereas in this world when we come, we have a very strong desire to become like Krishna. We want to be the most beautiful. We want to be the most strong. We want to be the most intelligent. Actually, once the Gaurakshana poet comes to Pune, he was saying a very interesting phenomenon which I never thought about in my life before. He said, "You go and tell a man, you know, Prabhuji, you know, you are not eating your prasadam well, you are too much rendering service, running here and that, your body is weak, you should become more healthy." And most people will agree, "Yes, it's true, I am not getting time, I am very busy in my services, my body is weak," and they will accept. And if you tell somebody, "Sir, you are so smart, if you only put your attention in your business, you will become a crorepati by now. Most people will agree, "God, you are really like, I haven't put my actual talent till now. If only I put my talent, I'll be one of the top 10 businessmen in the world." But you tell somebody, "Sir, you are not very intelligent." Immediately they get wild on you. "Who said I'm not intelligent?" Even a muff will become very angry, he said. Muffa will become angry. He said, "Nobody in this world will accept that I am a good guru." So, once in my discussion, Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "Prabhupada defeated Buddhism and we have to defeat Budduism." He was saying, Budduism is more difficult to defeat than Buddhism also. Even a Buddhu will not accept that I have no Buddhi. That is the material world. Because that, even a Buddhu has possible, that's a problem. Everybody has possible, this world, ahankar. Ahankara Yodhatma Sata Ahamiti Manate. That is Kaliya's nature. The proud nature of looking is rude one after another. What about this reason? You try to prove this way, that way, I am right, I can never be wrong. And Krishna is punching so much. Like this is punching one of, jumping from one head to another, is cracking his head. In this way, and when Krishna was dancing, there were also reddish jewels on the hood of Kaliya, which were reflecting on Krishna's feet. Plus Krishna, because he was hitting the head of Kaliya and jumping, Krishna's feet also rendered reddish also. In this way, that would be very beautiful when you are moving about. This extraordinary demonstration of dancing skill was meant for the pleasure of the young gopis of Vrindavan. See, these young gopis of Vrindavan have never met Krishna personally, nor have they danced with Krishna before. But now they have something called Purva Rag. Purva Rag comes before Rasa dance. So Purva Rag means they have developed a great affection for Krishna. And Krishna, while dancing on Kaliya, is showing the gopis, "See, someday we are also going to dance like this. Now you see the steps in which I am dancing very beautifully." That's what Krishna is showing them. That is why in this world also we want to show the beauty of our dance to others. Sometimes you see a man goes to the stage and he is dancing. Even great dancers this time they dance and he wants especially girls to see. Why just like this Duvida Gorilla wanted to show his skills to the gopi, the rival of the mountain. Isn't it? That is why there is a tendency in this world, like Krishna is showing his talent to gopis, so we all want to imitate similar thing. Now let me show my talent to my beauty and my dance to Rama. So there is a tendency to imitate Krishna and wanting to occupy the place of Krishna, which is actually called false ego. And true ego means we bow down to Krishna. You surrender to Krishna. All the poison released, blood released, and smoke released, everything over. Done. One completely surrenders to Krishna. Mm-hmm. At that time, what happened, you see?
Tamnatra madhya tamaveksya tada sadiya gandharva siddha municharana deva vadvah vityamrudanga panavana kavadya gita pushpo pushpo paharan nutidihi sahasopateduhu.
At that time, Gandharva, Sitra, Sejya, Sacharanath and wife of the demigod, they all immediately arrived there. Great pleasure they began accompanying Lord's dancing by playing drums, such as Mridanga, Panavaka, Panavar, and Anaka. And also they celebrated the occasion by showering flowers on Krishna, very beautiful colorful flowers. And they were showering from the sky, playing their instruments to make the dance of Krishna even more attractive. Everybody started playing the different instruments in the Akashmas, in the right above in the sky. And they also joined this, they all celebrated this wonderful occasion of Krishna dancing on Kaliya.
Yad-yad, yad-yad, shiro na namateng, shatait kashishnaha.
See, yad-yad, shiro. Whichever head was not ready to bow down and was drifting up. Yad-yad, shiro na namateng, means what?
Not
willing to bow. Shataita Shishna means 100 prominent heads of Kaliya out of 1000. Later on in text number 30, you'll get there'll be 1000 heads mentioned there, but 100 were very prominent. They were all looking up one by one. What is Krishna and this?
Tattatma marzakara danda dharongri pātaihi.
And Krishna trampled down on them by running hither and thither, very swiftly dancing, very expertly, over them with blows of his feet.
Kshina Ayisho Brahmata Urva Namatya Toshran.
Kshina Ayisho. Kshina Ayisho means what? Whose life has become depleted. He lost all his taxis. Kaliya became very weak by this kind of Krishna dancing. He began beating his head around and vomiting ghastly blood from his mouth and nostrils. While his poison was coming and now blood is coming now. He is still in great pain and misery. And having become weak, occasionally he would slowly try to lift one head lastly. Boom! And Krishna would jump on that also. Now he became very frightened to lift any head. Became extremely frightened. Actually, this is what happens for a practicing devotee also. In the beginning when we come, we will have a big, big palsy go. And as we grow in our spiritual life, we are supposed to gradually learn to become a genuine servant of Krishna. So the degree we don't become a genuine servant, to that degree we have to get on our palsy go. And as we get that, like you see, so many people have joined ashram and stayed for a while. And when they join ashram, they have to show themselves like a hero. But if somebody wants to become a hero, then you need the heroine also. Then you need such everything you need. So people have come, people have gone in this world. Different people wanted to show off in this world. So in whichever field we are in, there is a tendency to become a singular champion. Number one champion. And that number one champion is Krishna only. Because as we said earlier also, Sakala Kala, he is actually the master of all the colors. But the jiva has a tendency to become that one singular person. That's why there is a difference between adoration and distinction. Adoration is collective, distinction is singular. So the jiva can want which one? Adoration or distinction?
Distinction.
He wants to be singled out and glorified. Somebody, I am the one who is the first one to do this. Nobody else can do this, what I have done. I am indispensable. Without me, things cannot move. This kind of thing. These are the feelings of distinction. Very deep rooted in the heart of a conditioned soul. And the mastership mentality of wanting to hold everything. I was telling, sometimes you go to some firm, Now the whole Chatika Kucha is with one person only. And that person works very hard. Why he works very hard? Because he keeps the whole Chatika Kucha in his feet only. There are 25-30 keys with him. For every activity you have to go to him. Many has opened, there is this key and that key for you. And you can see that person working so hard, because why he has worked hard? To maintain his position as number one, to preserve his, you know, lordship or mastership over the people under whom, who are under him. That thing he wants to maintain. He cannot share it. He cannot share the keys with different people. He has to have all the keys. So he loses his sleep also many times. He loses his peace of mind also. That desire is that to be the apex in the pyramid. That is a distinction. Wanting the distinction. Actually, Vaishnava philosophy is opposed to this. You will find when Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Bhagavatam, great rishis like Vyasadeva, his father is sitting and hearing, Narada is sitting and hearing. You will find that. This is Vaishnava Siddhanta. In Vaishnava philosophy, nobody is superior or inferior. Everybody is servant of Krishna. And Krishna is the singular master, accepted as the singular supreme. And everybody is happy, loving and serving him without any reservation, without any envy. Jointly, and everybody puts their talent, and they pull up all the talents and offer it to Krishna as an offering. That is Vaishnava philosophy. Krishna has given me some talent, Krishna has given you some talent. You pull up all the talents and offer to Krishna. So this territorial mentality should be given up. This territorial mentality is, nobody can come in my zone. Actually, we can practically apply this in our life. If somebody is able to do better preaching than me, we should encourage them. We should not think that, you know, how can this fellow do better than me? That is also very conscious. Like, you know, wanting to hold the control of everything and everyone within one's own hand. That is actually very conscious. So, I was recently talking to one devotee from North. He was telling me, very genuine, wonderful devotee. He was trained by one of our counselors in Pune. But he is in a Nathanian temple. So he called up and asked me, Prabhuji, one another ISKCON temple wants to preach in this particular college. They were asking me, I am in two minds whether to allow them or not. Because we preached in this college and we made 20 devotees 5 years ago. After that we stopped it. And now we don't have any preaching going on there because we have no manpower, less manpower. But that another temple is asking, can they preach? We are asking. So my heart says they can preach because I am not preaching that. But another side of my possible says, why should they come and preach and we will only preach maybe after 5 years? Because it is in our zone, you are telling. So what should I do for preach? Then I explain to him actually. You see, in one college you can have 5 programs going on. 5 centers can preach in one college. College is like a gold mine. You have anybody comes and digs and takes their gold and goes. You get you just focus on 20 students or something like that, since you're close. Many people can come and preach in one place. When I explained this for half an hour, he said, Roji, I realize, I understand, it's true. This territory consciousness is so bad. I'm thinking the college is in my zone, but I'm not doing anything here. If somebody is coming and preaching and doing something for Prabhupada's mission, what's the problem? And that too with permission. What is the problem? Like once a dog got a coconut, but he didn't know how to open it. He was biting like this. And the coconut was rotating round and round. One farmer was passing by, he said, hey, give the coconut a cut, I'll drink the water and you eat the coconut, he said. Dog said, nothing doing. Nobody can touch it, it's my property. Chop off! Get out! He threw him away. He drove away the farm. In this way, this in Tamil they call it Nai Vekta Tengamaram, they call it in Tamil. The coconut that the dog got, neither could he eat it, nor could he benefit anyone. Similarly, sometimes there may be so such an area, we may put a territory and keep it. Nobody can preach in this area, but nobody preaches there either. Ultimately, who suffers? The mission suffers, ultimately. So, we should be God-minded. I am telling all our wise preachers also, we should call the other brahmacharis to your center. And when you call them to your center, your voice will be more happy with them than you sometimes. And that is because they are seeing them for the first time. And don't feel any problem. They are glorifying my colleagues more than me. You never feel like that. No. Like for example, once Radha Govinda came to Pune. Then after his lecture, people glorifying him so much. I went and told him, see Gauri, this is the reason I call you. No, I cannot give good lectures. No. People will not like my lectures. If you come, see such a big crowd of devotees come, they like it very much. He said, Rajasthan, your priest is not famous in his own town. He said this program. He said, when your Pune devotees come to Chapati, when I go for the program, both those guys are clinging to me. They come for the program. No. Even if I am going to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. But from Bombay temple, nobody will come with me. For me to get one assistant is so difficult. But from Pune, very difficult. Similarly, he said, because I occasionally come, they like me very much. If I stay here, they will know all my problems. And they will treat me worse than you also. Why I tell you this? Because generally all of you all are in some area. Like even counselors, I am telling you. You bring another counselor in your meeting, you will find your attendance will be 100% for your counselor meeting, all your counselors. You tell them that so-and-so counselor is coming to your meeting to share their realization. Big crowd will come. That you overflowing, you will only find heads on the windows. Huh? Someone is teaching, they will be very enthusiastic. That, so this is one reason I bring many people to Pune. So that people will always be enthusiastic. They will call, every month we have 2-3 teachers coming here. Because people want variety, as you say, variety is the mother of enjoyment. And you, just like in a halwa, if you put some pineapple, it becomes tasty, isn't it? Instead of simple suji halwa, you see? Similarly, the flavor is the variety. You know, I call Gauranga here, me and Gauranga will speak together, people will be very happy. People are ecstatic. You know, by calling the devotees, we don't become small, or we don't become big. Sometimes we have fear. Some better people come to me. This is powerful. And people will think, I'm not so great. This is envy. This envy should be given up. We should always encourage equals, especially if we call the equals. Don't call seniors. Equal is very good, because senior, if you call, your mind is able to respect senior, your ego will easily surrender to senior. You should always call equal or junior, if you call. Then our ego will be nicely thrown, smashed like Kali or smashed. Nicely. Suddenly all our poisons will come out. Poison of envy. And in this way, someday we will become completely free from this envy. And then this verse, today's verse, which is said, so we will take this verse and conclude. All of you repeat. Tasyakshi Dharalam.
Tachitra Tandava Virugna Pana Sahasro. Tachitra Tandava Virugna Pana Sahasro. Dattam Mukhai Ruruva Manjupa Vakna Dhatraha. Dattam Mukhai Ruruva Manjupa Vakna Dhatraha. Yuppacharachara Gurum Purusham Puranam. Yuppacharachara Gurum Purusham Puranam. Narayanam Tamaranam Manasajagama.
See, that means Krishna, Chitra, amazing. Tandava, this Tandava is not like Shiva's Tandava. You see, have you seen Nataraj Shiva dancing? In his Tandava, Shiva opens his third eye. So that fire comes out of his third eye also. Not only that, his jata is open when he's dancing. It's very frightening sight if you see Lord Shiva dancing also. And also, when Shiva dances, he does it for doing some heart. Whereas, when Krishna danced, it was very sweet looking, very attractive. It inspired all the devatas and everybody. It alleviated the fears in the heart of everybody. It called the Pandava because Krishna was very fastly, swiftly moving around. Different hoods of Kaliya. It was exactly like the loud chant of Hare Krishna we do in our singing. Sometimes when we look at it, it was like that. Very attractive. It's called as Chitra Tandava. It's not ordinary Tandava, it is Chitra Tandava. Virudhna Pana Sahasro. So in this way, he broke the skulls of Kaliya. Ratta Mukhai Uru Maman. Blood came out of his mouth profusely. Vaman means he vomited. Sripad, all things. Bhakna Ratra. Bhakna Ratra means his head crushed in different places. There were brain hemorrhage and head hemorrhage, everything. Skull breaking. Of course, Krishna later on replied it by his touch. He made it all right. But right now he broke it in order to release his possible. The word smritva is very important. Why? Because Kaliya's wives were very devotees and they had sown the seed of bhakti in his heart before. But that bhakti did not sprout. Why? Because of Kaliya's offensive mentality towards Krishna and towards the devotees. That's how he came to the Yamuna and was polluting the waters and everything. In fact, his envious mentality turned into cruel nature of torturing other living beings. Now Krishna, by his transcendental divine touch of his lotus feet, he neutralized it. And then the bhakti started sprouting slowly. And that is his smritva. The remembrance came to him. And that's what he said. Here it says, Manasa Jagama. Manasa means, with his mind, he approached Krishna. In his mind, he thought like this. He didn't speak anything. Vacha, nothing he said, like Tava, Asmi, Krishna. I am your property, Krishna, I am surrendering to you. He didn't speak anything, only in the mind. Why? Because the damage happened to him was so severe. His body, limbs were so broken, he was practically collapsed. He had no power to speak anything. But in his mind he accepted. What he accepted, Smritva? Charachara Gurum Purusham Puranam. He understood. Here is the oldest law. Pura means old. Na means new. Purana means this Lord Krishna, he is very old, yet he is in touch with every living being at every moment. He is never fresh and new. So he says, Purana Purusham. Narayanam. The word Narayanam is used because sometimes when Krishna does some great things, the word Narayana is used there. In order to indicate, let's say Mahavishnu is releasing all the universes from his body, and the three Narayanas are doing, and three Vishnus are doing different things. In order to remind us that his activity is not ordinary. And then he realized that Narayana is Bhagavan, this is the Supreme God. I try to bite him, I try to coil him. I tried to kill him. What a fool I was. Now let me surrender to him. Samaranam manasa jagama. Samaranam means now he took shelter of Krishna. And this is the remembrance came to him. When his possible was destroyed, defeated, the remembrance came to him. So, I will stop here. Maybe in another meeting sometime in future, I will do the second part. Because equal amount of time will be needed for the next part. Next part is a very interesting part, which is Kaliya's wife offering prayer. So that's one of the cream parts of this pastime. Because the way they pray Kaliya's wives, they're very intelligent devotees. Very advanced devotees. Each one of the prayers, these are actually glorified to Vaishnava acharyas very much. Another class will be taken. Another class will be taken.